15, and this one was superb in so many ways. It was superb because we had more time to spend with each other and more time to get to know each other and relate, but we also had the most amazing times in God's presence. And God did such deep things in people. I know this happened in camp in the 60s, in the 80s, and early 90s, where there was times when the cloud of God's glory would literally come into the meeting and people would be on their faces and not able to stand in his presence. It wasn't like that this time, but there was a revival dynamic about camp that I'd never seen in the 15 years I've been there. There was something that was happening which I thought was so superbly special. And we've got some of the DVDs which we can let you have a look at. We'll also get you the code so that you can download some of the stuff on the website and have a look and see what was going on and listen to some of the teaching that was there as well, so that you can really get an idea of what God was doing and how good it was. So that's waiting for us, and that's special, and God has great things to do in us and through us and around us. And you're the faithful ones that are here, because you're not on holiday and you're not at camp. Father, we just are so blessed by all that you're doing, by everything you're holding before us at the moment. It's almost as if I feel like I'm absolutely about to explode when I think of everything you're laying into our hearts and showing us and giving us understanding of, Lord. And I just bless you for that. And I ask that whatever you're saying to me, you'll be saying to all of us. And Lord, something in us will begin to just build and build and build. And we will see this awesome kingdom that you've brought to the earth, Jesus. And we will begin to catch a glimpse of the power of this kingdom. And this kingdom's ability to change and set free lives. This kingdom's ability to interact with the society we live in and bring about change in so many dramatic ways. For nothing else can do that. We bless you and praise and honor you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Many years ago, 30 years ago, I'd been saved for about a year, and the minister of the church that I was saved in asked me to start a youth group, because there wasn't one. And so I started with these kids, and eventually there was a whole bunch of kids, and it was really loads of fun. And then he said, let's take the kids away into the Katberg Mountains in the Eastern Cape of South Africa, and let's just take them away for a weekend and have a great time with those kids and teach them stuff, but also let them just have experience in the mountains. And on the first night we were there, I remember we were all in this little, it wasn't really a little hall, and we were just kind of singing and talking and having fun. And suddenly, I just felt this love begin to grow in my heart. The only way I could describe it at that time was love. I didn't know another name for it. And it grew and grew and grew until eventually it was so much that I thought, I'm going to make a clot of myself if I stay in this room with these people. I better go outside. And I went outside and I stood under the trees. And I never forget, it was a beautiful, clear, moonlit night. And the moon was full. And this blue light was shining down through the trees. And I stood under them. And I looked up to God. And I said to God, tonight, I love you so much. I don't think I've ever loved anybody like I love you tonight. And tonight, and as I said that, it was like he just downloaded all this love into me. And I just began to feel this love filling me. And I began to say to him, you know, God, I can't do this anymore. If you don't stop, I'm going to explode because my heart can't contain what you're showing me. This is beyond my ability. But something happened to me that night. And I knew that forever I was changed. I could never, ever expect to live an ordinary life from then on. I believe from that day, God set my life on a new course. And he set me on a course which has brought Dot and I here to this place now in London. And it was all God, because God's, in a sense, sovereignly set me apart for him and said that was what you're to do. Now, Dot has her own story, and she's, you know, at times she will explain that to you as well. But what happened is we just came to this place of finding the difference and finding what God is saying and just beginning to learn this. I want to quote to you a scripture. If you look with me in Joel chapter 2, 3. Now, I've talked before about God wanting to raise up an army. It'll be akin to the army that God speaks of in Joel chapter 2, where this army of people will be like a relentless army that cannot be stopped, that nothing will get in its way, and it will move through the lands of the world, and it will bring dramatic change. And already, I believe, in the earth now, and I'm seeing them already, God is raising up the most extraordinary young people that I'm seeing now like I've never seen before. I'm seeing people for whom the world has nothing. There is no desire for what the world has to offer them anymore. There is just this absolute zeal for God and His kingdom. And when you speak to them, it's almost frightening because you're almost standing in such purity and such holiness that you just sort of feel awed by it. And I spoke to two of these guys this week at camp, and I know this is what God's doing in the earth. And these are extraordinary people, and they're people that are going to go fearlessly throughout the lands of the world. And some of them will be brought to a point where they will have to give up their lives for their decision to follow Jesus, and they will do it because this world and all that it holds is no longer significant to them. There's a generation rising up now that is so different from anything we've got had on the world, on the earth. And they're not demanding what people are expecting. They're demanding what Jesus is expecting. And for their own lives, they're just choosing to live completely differently. And for their own lives, they walk with a vision which is so different from what church has been ticking over for too long. And I'm excited by this, and I just wanted to start by referring to something the Lord took us to and just showed me from Joel chapter 3. And the Lord speaks this word in verse 9, and He says, "Proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war." Prepare for war. God is calling His church now, and He's saying to the church, prepare for war. It's not going to be like it was before. It's not going to be a church that kind of ticks the boxes and sort of has the great children's ministry and really cool worship and serves great coffee. All those things are great, but it's not what the Church of Jesus Christ is to be known for. It's a church that is to prepare for war. The word of the Lord says, "Rouse the warriors. Let all the fighting men draw near and attack." It's a season where the warriors are going to rise up. The warriors in God, the people who see differently, the people who live differently. He says, "Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears." The plowshare and the pruning hook speak of settlers, people who have come to till the land and maintain their patch of ground. And God says now it's a season for the warriors of God to turn those plowshares that they maintain their patch of ground into swords, to take their pruning hooks that they use to maintain their crops and turn them into spears, because a season of warfare is coming upon the earth where those who are not afraid, are those who fear only God, will do warfare and do great exploits for God, because they're singly set apart for God. And God said His eyes range to and fro across the earth to strengthen those who are fully committed to Him. And there are going to be people who will do such amazing miracles. There will be people who will literally raise the dead on the streets. There will be people who will raise people out of wheelchairs. There will be people who will drive demons out of people. There will be other people who will stand onto the street and proclaim the kingdom of God. And the very proclamation of the word of God will bring about such dramatic changed lives that people will be set free just by the power of God through His declared word on the earth, coming through the mouths of men and women who do not fear anything except God. This is upon the earth now, guys. This is the season that the church is rising up into now. The Lord says, "Let the weakling say, I am strong." God will not raise up the guys with great frames and great builds and all that particularly. It will be those who are great on the inside. Those who will know who lives on the inside of them. For as Paul says, "Christ in you is the hope of glory." It will be those who are aware of who is in them. It will be those who understand what Christ in us means. That Christ in us cannot be separated from His power. He cannot be separated from His holiness. He cannot be separated from His authority. That is who dwells in us. Christ in you is 100% full of power, full of authority, ready to dramatically change the world we live in. There has come a season on the earth now where people like this will walk the earth. Like the William Booths of this world who walked into the East End of London and preached the gospel on the streets, and people threw rocks at him and cut his head open, and people spat on him, and people threw rotten fruit at him. And he said to his team, "Don't brush the spit off your clothes. Wear it as a medal of honor that the King of Glory saw fit to use you to suffer for his name." So God will raise up a new team of people who will not fear man, but who will fear God. We are in that season now, and it's dramatic and it's awesome. Today, this week, the stock markets of the world have been shaken dramatically. Something like 114 billion pounds have been wiped off the stock market, gone. Things are going to happen in the world over which we have no control in the natural sense. But God is raising up people who will not be fazed by those things. People will not be completely blown away by what is happening, but people who will see with a different eye. People will look through the circumstances and look because they've been in the heavens and they've seen what God does. You see, you can't live and do this work from the earth into heaven. You have to come from the heaven realm into the earth to do it. It is those who go into heaven who will access the power of God and bring it on the earth and release and set free because of where they've been with their lives, because of how they live and what God will do through them in this earth. Come quickly, all you nations from every side, and assemble. Come quickly. There is a team of people that is going to walk through this land, brothers and sisters. They will march shoulder to shoulder. They will not be afraid of anything. They will not be here to do things in the rules of man. They will do things in the rules of heaven. They will not get back. They will not back down, but they will know whom they serve. They will understand this king that they are walking, that they are part of. When Jesus spoke of John the Baptist, a man who dressed not in the fashion of the day. He wore camel's hair clothing, a belt of leather around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He lived the most extreme lifestyle, and he did not preach pretty sermons which draw the hearts of people because their ears were tickled and they said, "Oh, I like what you're saying." He would say, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" And yet the people streamed out in their thousands to John to be baptized in the Jordan River because of the authority of God. Not because of the skill of man or the public speaking capability, but the authority of God was in him. And therefore he could bring about this change on the earth. And therefore he could say to this earth, "You will change." And therefore this earth could not tolerate him and had to take his head off. If we've come to preach and minister to an earth along the lines of what they will find acceptable, we've missed it completely. Now is the season for those who will confront the world system and say, "I belong to a kingdom which cannot be shaken. I belong to a kingdom which forcefully advances." Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing, and the forceful lay hold of it. Jesus went, in Matthew chapter 2, you read, Jesus went to Peter's house. His mother-in-law was ill, Jesus raised her up, and she went and made food for them, preserved them. And then it says that every single person that was brought to him got healed that night. Every single person who had a demon had their demons driven out of them. Early the next morning, while it was still dark, Jesus rose and went out to meet with his father on the side of a mountain. This will be the other characteristic of these men and women. Prayer will not be something that fits into a convenience in your lifestyle when you can kind of adjust yourself around it, but you will adjust yourself around Jesus. You see, for too long, we've lived with a sense that the church is here to be as an added bit, like belonging to a tennis club or a health and fitness club. You also belong to a church, but instead, the kingdom of God will be the center and you'll organize your life around it. And that's what God is going to raise up on this earth, brothers and sisters. Now is the season and the time. And you will see this. You will see this. You will be awed by it. It will so challenge us. And some of these young guys are going to rise up amongst us. And we're going to be awed by what they are, just by their life. They will walk into a room and the sheer presence of the holiness of God will absolutely overwhelm us. And some of us will not be able to stay in the room with them. We'll have to get out because of the very presence of God that is in these lives. We were hearing about Smith Wigglesworth, who when he used to arrive at a church to preach, and he used to meet in the vestry beforehand with the disciples. And when he met with them there, with the leaders of the church, he would pray with them, and he would wait and listen to them pray. And then when he got up and he began to pray, he had such access into heaven that as he began to pray, the men would leave the room one by one. They could not remain in the place of that godly authority, that sense of God's presence in this man's life and in his prayer, that people would get out of the room and he'd be left on his own eventually just praying. And we heard the one man determined, I will stay in that room, I won't get out when he comes to us. And this man stayed, and eventually he had to sit down. He couldn't stand anymore, and he clung to the chair. And eventually he got on his face, and eventually he crawled out of the room on his hands and knees. The holiness of God was so great and so evident that it was impossible to be indifferent and remain in the same room with this man who had access into heaven because he spent most of his time there. This is what God's raising on the earth. We're saying, when do we see a church that begins to change and make any difference? This is when it happens. This is when it happens. Church is called to interact with the community that we're in. And just as Jesus, when he'd got up and he went on the side of the mountain and the disciples came to him in that same story I was telling you from Mark. And they came to him, they said, where are you? Everyone's looking for you. Wow, you've established a ministry base. Everybody's going to come to the next meeting. And he just said simply, we must go. I have other parts of Israel to go and preach in. You see, he was moving relentlessly on. He wasn't staying to build a popular work where everybody would want to be part of, because here were the signs, wonders, and miracles, and we wanted to be part of his church. Jesus had a heart to transform a nation, and God is looking now for men and women with a heart to transform a nation. And God is looking for men and women who will rise up and go. Men and women who will not stay in a church and maintain a meeting. Guys, the time of maintenance has come to the end. We cannot maintain church any longer. Church is never meant to be a place of maintenance. It's meant to be a place of dramatically thrusting out, just like Jesus said it would. We have got to go out there with a burden in our heart to change our community we live in. We got a guy in our church called Dan who has a football team made up of homeless people. And I said to Dan, or I said to him today, whatever you need, we're going to do it. You're doing it right in our midst, and nobody is even going to any of what things you're doing. I will go there. Whoever wants to come with me, we'll go there. We'll play football with these guys. We'll serve. We'll put money behind it. We'll do whatever we can. But we will invest in this community to see people's lives change. If we have to rent a house to put these guys in, we'll do that. But we will find the money. We'll find the faith in God and say, God, you don't call us to small projects. You call us to change communities. You call us to change a society. Graham has been working in Soho for how long? I don't know. Almost forever. And there have been wonderful things happen. But guys, you still walk on the streets of Soho and you still see the effects of darkness. It's time for that to change. It's time for the men of God, the saints, to rise up and say, this is unacceptable. We've come to change what we see. Because that's what God's made us to be. Get alongside this man and say, I want to go on the streets with you. I want to learn what it is that you're doing. I want to see how I can get inside what you're doing and release this kingdom. The church is not about a meeting. It's not about a series of meetings that meet every day and have a glory time once a week. The church is about people who transform a community. Ask yourself the question, if we shut the doors and never open them again, who would miss us? We might miss each other, but would anybody miss us? No, because we've been maintaining. But now it's time for us to start interacting, to start thrusting out of those doors, to start changing the community we live in. And there must be 1,000 projects right now that God is speaking to people in this room about right now, that we could go out and we could begin to interact with and we could bring change in our community. What's it going to cost you? Everything. That's what Jesus said. Whoever wants to follow me has to lay down his life. You pick up your cross every day and you follow me. It'll be dramatic. It'll be different. But it'll be glorious. Listen, at best, they're reckoning blokes are living to 80 years and women a little more at the moment, the life expectancy. Compared with eternity, that is a drop in the Atlantic Ocean. Why do we live as if this is all there is? Why is it that everything's got to be invested to make this part the most important, when in fact eternity waits there for you? Great saints like Keith Green, who were a fearless man, who lived a short life but changed the world when he lived in it, because his message was absolutely uncompromising. I was reading this afternoon about David Brainerd, lived in the 1700s, came from a family of people, a huge family who were depressives. There were loads of depressed members of the family. They were sick. Most of the family died in their early 30s. But David Brainerd, at the age of 21, was expelled from Yale because he chose to stand for Jesus. And he had an encounter with Jesus at the age of 21. And the age of 21, he was diagnosed with tuberculosis, and they said, you haven't got long left. And for another 7 years, this man went out among the Native Americans, which we call Indians. He went out amongst these guys, people who scalped people. And he went out and he proclaimed the kingdom of God. And his diary reads that he would spend the night before God on the outskirts of an Indian, of a place where these Native Americans were doing their dancing and all the other stuff they were doing. And he'd get before God and he would enter into heaven. And they said through the night he would spend hours and hours. He would cough up blood as the tuberculosis took hold of his body. And the next morning, he would get up and he would walk into that hole, that area, that village. And men and women would fall on their faces before God and cry out for mercy and come to salvation and be set free from the life of their life of idolatrousness and darkness. This is what we're called for. He died at the age of 29. He lived a short life. Nobody knew anything about him. Never had a wife, never got married, never owned anything. But he left a legacy on the earth. What? You've got one life, guys. You have one life. You don't come back. You don't even get today over again. It's gone. Whatever you didn't do today is finished. We've had it. But you've got one day. What are you going to do with this life? What is this life? What are you living this life for? Are you going to make a whole lot of money to put in the bank? Do you know what? Richard Branson will die one day and leave every penny on the earth. He will not have a penny in his pocket. He won't even have a pocket. Bill Gates will have nothing when he leaves the earth. John Wesley died. Left £6, £1 for each one of his pallbearers. He left a box of spoons. Why? I cannot imagine. Some preaching books and a shirt that he used to preach in. He had nothing else in the earth. God is looking for people for whom the earth has nothing. There's no riches that I want to put on this land. On the earth, I want to put my riches in heaven. Today, John Wesley lives in a mansion in heaven and he'll live there for eternity. And some will scrape in, just scrape into heaven and live in a dog kennel because we didn't invest in eternity. And I don't want you to do that. I want you to have the best. It's time for the church to arise. I know it's the middle of holidays. I know it's August. We all slow down. It's hot. We have fun. And I'm not against having fun. But this has got to become the message of the kingdom. You know, Israel, when they were marching through the wilderness for 40 years, it said their shoes never wore out and their clothes never wore out. For 40 years, their clothes lasted as they walked. Their shoes never wore out. When we move in the purposes of God, He takes care of the maintenance. When we get focused on the maintenance, that's all we'll have to do. But when we get our eyes set on Jesus and we say, Jesus, I'm in this for you. I serve you. I don't serve man. I don't serve the purposes of man. I serve you only. He takes care of your income. He takes care of every need you got. He takes care of your healing. He takes care of every aspect of your life. We have the choice. This is such an exciting message. Are you excited? Or am I the only one? Well, you know, you've got to stop and say, look, what am I living for? What's my life for? I've got this one life. What am I going to do with it? How will I live this life? What will I change? Who will know that I lived on this earth? How many people will be changed because I lived on this earth? How many people's lives will seriously be impacted and turned to the kingdom of God, set free from the powers of darkness, healed of diseases, because I lived on the earth, because I drew oxygen out of the air for 80 years or however long it's going to be that we do this? Who will change because I did this? It's time for the church to arise. Jesus is calling His church to step up to the plate. He's calling His church to come to the mark. He's calling His church and saying, church, it's time. It's time for the kingdom of God to arise. It's time for the people of God to arise and recognize who they are and who Christ in you, the hope of glory, really is. And live with that at the center of your heart every day so that you begin to change your world. And this world will be different because you lived in it. Who knew William David Brainerd died at 29 of tuberculosis, was expelled from Yale University for being too radical? Who knew him? Never had a wife, never had kids, never had anything. Died penniless. But we know about him today. How many people in 200 years' time, if we're still on the earth, will be reading books about you? It can be possible. You can decide. I'm leaving a legacy on this earth. I'm going to change Soho. I'm going to change London. I'm going to change the United Kingdom. I'm going to Poland and I'm going to revolutionize that nation. I'm going to go to India and I'm going to make that nation live again. I'm going to cause the glory of God to reverberate in that nation. How many people are going to do this? How many people are living to see I live, I have one life, and I'm going to do it in my lifetime? So guys, I want to put that to you. I think it's the most challenging thing I could ever think of. It's frighteningly challenging. You know the other thing I want to see happen? I want to see the saints of God get healed. I want to see those who are battling with an orphan spirit who do not know that they have a father. I want to see them set free. You know, so many times you run into somebody and you'll pick up really kind of suddenly this anger comes out of them, or this sarcasm, or this kind of biting humor comes out of them, and it kind of hurts. And I used to always just get offended until the Lord set me free from my orphan spirit. And the Lord said, all I want to do is heal these guys. I want you to help heal them. I want you to set them free because they've never known a father, therefore they cannot know their heavenly father. And until they're set free to know the Father, or Father God is their Father, they will never come to freedom. They've never known a mother's love or a father's love. They've never been affirmed by their fathers and mothers. And they don't understand it. God wants to set them free. But you know, the Lord has shown me over this week as I prayed about this. And the Lord said, this can't happen in a meeting. You can't do it in a meeting by preaching a clever sermon or a sermon that'll help them. This has to be one-on-one. And I want to start meeting with men one-on-one and with women one-on-one. And we're going to begin individually, begin to heal people of their father issue. As I got healed by one man, I want to help people get healed. I want to bring people into a revelation of the power of Father God to set you free. And when you discover, and I discover, that for God is your Father and you're a son of God, you will live differently. You will do exploits for God in a completely different way, not out of a sense of guilt, but out of a sense of sonship. And His love will heal you. So if you want, come and see me. I want to put an appointment in my diary and say, we're in, let's start. Let's start the process of healing your life to see you released into all the things that God has for you to do. Because until we come to that place of understanding that fathers need to be forgiven for the mess that they caused unwittingly or wittingly or knowingly, we need to forgive them so we're not dragging them through our lives for the rest of our lives saying, Father, you didn't do what you should have done. Father, I'm dragging this ball and chain around for the rest of my life as a cripple or mother. But God wants to heal the orphan spirits in people so that they can come to the fullness of being sons. Then they will understand what it means when we say Christ in you is the hope of glory, when Paul tells us that. And most of us, especially if you're English, you will find this incredibly threatening because it looks like somebody might come close to your life, but I'm afraid it has to happen because you've got to get set free. And ultimately, God wants you to be free. God wants you to live as a son, both daughters and sons of the Father. And so we are committed in our hearts to helping you to come to that place of freedom. Wow. Because this army is going to be a free army. An army that's not crippled by the life that they came from. This army is free to do and to be. Thank you, Father. Lord, we're not even an exciting group. We're just this bunch of people here in London. We're here where we started. Once again, here we are. There's not even that many of us. But Father, I ask you that in our hearts will burn such a passion for Jesus, such a deep longing for his kingdom to be enforced in this world, that we will go into this world and become those who bring transformation in communities, in societies, in governments, in banking institutions, in building institutions. Father, we will become those who make the difference on the earth. I ask you to take what we offer you, which is our lives. We have nothing else, but we give you what we've got. And we ask you, Father, for the sake of Jesus, that when he hung on the cross and he said, it is finished, he meant the pain of this earth is finished. Now who's going to go and do it? Who's going to go and be the hands and mouth of Jesus? And we want to be those people. So Father, here we are. Can you guys stand with me, please? I just want to ask you to stand before the Lord right now and say, Lord, here we are. We are the ones that you've, we're available to you. The moment we meet on Friday, we might meet on Sunday. I don't know where we'll meet. We'll meet when you say. But we want to be your people. Whatever you say, we want to be. What you need, we want to be, Jesus. And Lord, I know you need us. You need us to accomplish what you raise us up for. We want to love you more than we love ourselves. We want to love this world with the love that you put in us. Father, take note of us. Here we are before you. We are yours. Take our lives, Jesus. Now take them, take them, take them, take them, take them. Take our life. Let our lives be lived for you now, Jesus. I ask you to raise up street preachers amongst us. People who will go on the street and proclaim the love of God, not the damnation of God, but the love of God. People who will show this hurting world love that came to heal them. I ask you, Father, take note of us standing before you this evening. Jesus bought us with his blood, and we are his now. And brothers and sisters, it starts with that simple fact. I belong to Jesus. So then he can say what he wants me to do. I belong to Jesus. Whatever Jesus says, that's okay with me. Because I'm going to live with him for an awful long time. So I want to get used to being with him now. Take our lives. Thank you so much, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Your The Lord says, I dance on injustice, and I call my church now to become a church that dances upon the injustice of this nation, dances upon the injustice of the poor in spirit and the poor in heart. I call my church to dance before me and dance on the injustice of this world and bring about healing and bring about restoration and bring about the love of the Savior into the hearts of those who do not know. And we'll never know until we go and tell them. So rise up, Church of God. Rise up, Church of God. Rise up, Church of God. Just begin to pray in tongues aloud. Sharabarabie. Jendrosto brobo bobashe. Rabo. Ribiarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarab Shin. Jar biara bara biara bakor biara bara bari bara makara bendi. Jabarabe rabara bakasara biara bara bakara biara bara biara bakara bendi bistu. Re robak shen dara bakasara bara biara bakan. Thank you, Jesus. Yara bara biara bakara bendi rabaka. Jo rabo. Jibra bakara bendi. Jembra bara bara biara bara ndere bishto. Jembra stora bara biara bakara bara ndere bishto bara biara bakara bara ndere bishto biara bara bara ndere. Jembra bara biara bara bakara biara bakara bara ndere bishto biara bakara bara ndere. Jembra bara biara bara biara bakara bara ndere bishto bara bakara biashtem roku subra. Roko sabra bari yara baka sere bara makan deri bista. Roga sere bari yara bakar biara mokor biende. Kere besho. Roba bari yara bara baka shendere bistor berende. Yema bara bara baka sere berende bisto. Kiara bara baka sere bari yara bakande. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Here we are. Oh, Rabbi Araba Carabi, Asharabaraba Carabi, and Araba Carabi, Araba Carabi, Araba Carabi, and Araba Kashi. Rabbi Araba Carabi, and Araba Carabi, Araba Kashi. Rabbi Araba, and Arabi Shah. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall.
And I feel the Lord saying that, have you ever wondered why just 120 people just received the power of the Holy Spirit when at Pentecost, and they turned the world upside down in a very short space of time? And the Lord says that that's why He's calling us to be a people of the Spirit, to be a people not of the flesh, not of the soul life, but of the Spirit. And that's why He's called us to pray in tongues a lot every day, because He's training us. He's training us. He's training our hands to war. He's training our tongues to speak the Word of God. He's training us to be handling the Word of God in a proper way as the sword of the Spirit. He's training us to be the army, the Joel army of this end time. And He's saying He doesn't even need a lot of people. He doesn't need great people. He just needs submitted, yielded people. People of the Spirit who begin to listen, can listen and hear the voice of God, can hear as they go through their normal lives. They can be on the tube and the Lord can say, speak to that person over there, heal that person over there, deliver that person over there. They don't have to have training programs. They don't have to have programs to do these things, because there are people led of the Spirit. And God's calling us to be that. And He's saying, you're my faithful remnant. But you are that lean, mean fighting machine that I'm raising up at this time to fight for the heart of this nation and to contend for the heart of this nation, says the Lord.
Yara that Queen Mary, who persecuted Protestants in this land, persecuted many, many people, burnt to the stake. And she made the statement that she feared the prayers of John Knox more than she feared the assembled armies of Europe. She had great wisdom to understand that. Father, my cry, the cry of my heart, is that you will raise up an army here amongst us who will fear the arm, who will be feared because of what they know and who they are and who they access. That they will, we will begin to pray like John Knox prayed. We will pray like Smith Wigglesworth prayed. We'll pray like William and Catherine Booth prayed. We'll pray with understanding of who we are in Christ. And we will bring about change on the earth because we live on it. Jesus. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Jesus. Father, I want to ask you, heal the sons and daughters in this place. Heal them and set them free. Heal them and set them free to be sons of the Father, to walk in the power of the Father, to know His love, to know the Father's love. Set them free, Jesus, set them free. Hallelujah. Seats for a moment, please. I just want to clarify something to you. The Lord really showed us that the Father's healing of the Father issue is much more effective one-on-one. I was set free by one person, and it's an effective tool for ministry one person to one person. And so what we're going to do is start with one, make one person free alongside me, become a disciple, make another one, and build a team of people eventually who are able to minister to other people and bring great freedom to many lives, so that they will be sons of the Father in all the power and the authority of Jesus. Can I tell you something else, guys? God loves you so much. God believes in your ability to succeed. God believes you are a changer. Do you know God is not fazed by your humanity because He created it? God is not looking at your humanity and seeing how you failed and turns away from you in disgust. God looks at you with such love. The Word of God says God so loved the world that was sinful and hated God. He loved that world so much that He sent His only Son to die for this world. That has never changed. That same Father is still loving. Is still loving His sons and bringing them to wholeness and setting them free in Jesus' name. Praise Him. We're gonna have an earlier night tonight, so we're gonna take the offering now. So if you are a British taxpayer, please use the gift aid envelope on your seat. Please, if you're making a checkout, make it payable to Kingdom Faith. And Father, you know our needs as a church. You know everything we need, and we trust you with our needs. So, Father, we put these baskets here, and we ask you to put in them what we need. Move our hearts. We don't work on the basis of manipulation. We work on the basis of faith. So we ask, Father, that as we praise Jesus, you just send us what we need here to work this work, to continue the work for another week. Send us what we need, Jesus. Thank you.